There's websites that I get on. You don't even know. No crashes on my laptop because my RAM is dope. I play lots of D&D and watch BBC. I pointed out all the mistakes when I saw Gravity. I speak bocce like a second language. All my references need explaining.
Hey, what's up? This is Josh from JustUsGeeks.com, and you have stumbled on to episode 133 of the Just Us Geeks podcast. This week, things have been a little crazy. As you heard last week on episode 132, we are doing our local theater production, and stuff's been kind of nuts. So in that event, we have decided to feature a segment of my interview and my being on episode 195 of I Heard That Was Good with our friends Tim and Carson. So that's what you're going to hear from this. Make sure you go over to IHeardThatWasGood.com and listen to the whole episode. Tweet those guys at IHeardThatWasGD and make sure you just tell them that you came from the Just Us Geeks podcast. We really like them and are looking forward to having them with us very, very soon. So make sure you remember that. Next week on JustUsGeeks.com and the Just Us Geeks podcast, things return to normal. Sort of, but we'll get there. So make sure you keep checking out all the great content over at JustUsGeeks.com. And, of course, check out this segment from episode 95 of I Heard That Was Good, featuring myself and Tim and Carson. We'll see you next week.
Saturday morning, jumped out of bed and put on my swimsuit. Got in my car and raced like a jet. And the next thing I knew, stepped out the door and onto the sand. Time for relaxation, but now I'm seeing more than I planned. Yeah. Getting in the water should have been so nice. No stress, no stress when I'm near the shore. You see, I'm always wearing clothing when I am seaside. No one clued me in. Here it is, optional. I didn't know the beach was nude. There's hardly any chicks, just dudes. I didn't know the beach was nude. Everyone's hairy and pale and gray. Hairy and pale, hairy and pale and gray. Hairy and pale, everybody's so saggy. Hairy and pale, yeah, why can't I look away? I didn't know the beach was nude.
Children are beautiful, singers.
All right. So anyway, we were just finishing up our tweets from the public.
Tweets from the public.
Yeah.
He knows the theme song. I guess I'll formally introduce you before. Josh Steen from Just Us Geeks.
Yep.
I already introduced you when you weren't here, but now he's finally here, and we're finishing up a little bit of housekeeping.
Hour late, not to mention.
That's right.
You came a long way.
I was kidding.
Damn right I did.
I'm very shocked. It's like you're going to be driving more than you will be here.
It's
right?
Awesome. It's awesome that people in our area do this.
Yeah.
I wish there was more exposure for people in our area that do this. And, you know, the audio governor of technical ministries at JustUsGeeks.com, his lair is actually in Jackson, so it's always good times coming down and having debauchery with him, so it's fine.
Well, sounds awesome. Come down on a weekend when we can all really go out and get into some trouble.
When real life happens on the weekend, right?
Get in trouble as much as we can.
But
right.
That's
about all I'm gonna say. But still,
that's fine.
He's the governor, all right.
He is.
That's all you have to know.
Eye patch included.
Yes.
Yeah.
Totally fine.
But Scott and Danny had tweeted at us, and we were talking about the picture of Christopher Walken as Captain Hook. Have you seen this?
I have not seen it, but I have been waiting for it.
Well, here you go. There he is.
Oh my God!
Disappointing.
What on earth?
He looks like a little bit more of a dandy, I was just saying, than I expected. And he looks like Tim Curry a la Rocky Horror Picture Show a little bit. Like he was interrupted on his way to a midnight showing.
I said it looks like he's sucking on something sour.
That too. I don't recognize Chris Walken in that.
If they're going to do that to him, why even pick Christopher Walken?
Yeah.
You know, that looks weird.
I guess it must just be totally... I was already looking forward to his delivery, but now that it doesn't look like him, I don't know. I think I'm still going to... you know, enjoy hate watching it, just like I did The Sound of Music.
Right, because it was incredibly bad. I mean, it was terrible.
And that's my wife's favorite motion picture of all time is The Sound of Music. And so she was looking forward to this for over a year because they announced it and she was like, this is going to be the best night of my life. And she
the hills are
it.
Alive, y'all, yeah. with The Sound of Music.
That's exactly how she sounds. My wife is not in the room, everybody. She's been on the podcast before, but she did not just walk in. That was an impression, and it was really good.
And we've spent enough time already talking about The Sound of Music.
Yeah, right.
Golly.
Carson hates when we mention it, just because...
Just because I hate The Sound of
Music.
Just because
he hates The Sound of Music.
Yeah. And
the
mainly,
literal Sound of Music.
And I really don't personally hate it. I just hate it to make fun of Sarah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So someone tweeted at us, and this will... I was going to cover this, and I heard that was wrong a little bit later on, but we talked about this movie The Way because Emilio Estevez came up, and I remembered wanting to see it, and I thought Emilio Estevez was the main star in this movie, but someone tweeted at us, and I noticed it took them like 7 tweets to get the thought that they deleted, and then they were like, then they finally ended up getting it out, but The Way was a film about Martin Sheen. They said Martin Sheeran, I guess getting him mixed up with Ed Sheeran's dad instead of Emilio Estevez's dad. Martin Sheen, honoring his son who died attempting to walk a famous pilgrim's walk to a famous cathedral church in Spain from a town in France. Along the way, he bumps into an array of different characters, and there is the plot.
Very confusing.
Of The Way. Yes. I thought Martin Sheen was the one that died, and Emilio Estevez goes on the walk, but I guess it's the opposite way, so I did get that wrong. But thanks for clearing that up. @Arundel_M. My buddy Mike Bush from up in New York tweeted at us saying that we nailed the description of the trophy that the MasterChef winner gets. If you missed it, listen to episode 94.
Now you tried out for MasterChef, right?
Hell's Kitchen,
Hell's Kitchen. Yeah. I laughed for quite a while when you guys were talking about that because, you know, I think I said a couple weeks ago that one of the people that I would be my celebrity to hang out with would be Robert Downey Jr.
Right.
Nailed it.
Okay.
And Gordon Ramsay.
Okay, so that's what we were talking about. We were like, what's that tweet in reference to it wasn't who you wanted to drink with because that was a long time ago.
Yeah.
Who's like apartment and who would you want to hang out with.
That's
okay.
Right. The hard show. Okay.
And probably just for the experience and I guess to get yelled at, but I've come to realize that in all of the television that I watch, 90% of it is garbage.
Yeah.
Total garbage. If Gordon Ramsay is in it, it's garbage, but I still love it.
We watch everything he does except Hotel Hell. That's the one we didn't jump on because I was like, I can't do another one. I do MasterChef, I do Hell's Kitchen, and I do Kitchen Nightmares. I was like, I can't do it.
I was that way until they did it in Starkville.
Right, I wanted to watch that.
I never wanted to watch MasterChef, but it came on before 24, so then I started getting hooked on it because I hated that the cowboy guy from Texas.
Yeah, Cutter.
Yeah, the one that like made it to the end just about.
He made it pretty far.
I hated him so much, I was like, damn it, now I got to keep watching it because he's here.
Well, we had this whole big thing set up with the people at Fox to go and to meet Gordon and spend a little bit of time at the Hotel Chester in Starkville, and their support system on the ground there was just absolutely horrific. I mean, it was absolutely horrific. I spent 45 minutes walking around Hotel Chester looking for Gordon Ramsay or anyone associated with Fox, nowhere to be found.
Huh.
Yeah, so I was like, oh, well, this is a burn trip, and that's where Gordon Ramsay sleeps.
You should have started throwing stuff like he would have done.
Yeah.
That might have gotten their attention.
That's all they're going to respond to. That's amazing. Yeah. Well, I mean, they must be, because every show he does is pretty well edited, you know? It's everything's put together really well.
Have you noticed that it's getting worse, though? Like, there's a lot more of the back of his head, and then we're going to edit what he says in later.
Yes.
It's getting worse.
The ADR is pretty awful it's pretty awful across the board on TV, reality show in general, but his shows, you know, when they want someone from Hell's Kitchen to say, I really hate Christine, and I don't think she should be on this team. It's like, what did they really say there? You pieced together like 9 interviews and made a 5-second soundbite out of it.
It's like watching a movie on ABC Family where they edit out the cussing.
Exactly.
They're like, you stupid mother.
Yeah.
We talked to, I think it was season 4? Was it season 4, the girl from MasterChef? To Bree from MasterChef season 4.
I remember the name.
I guess it was last year.
Yeah.
And she had like, all her experiences, she said, were very positive. She was the fan favorite at the time, But she did get voted off. She didn't win. But she never really talked about Gordon Ramsay. Like, she talked about Joe Bastianich and Graham, but never really about him. I would just imagine that he's so busy, like, he's really not there.
Yeah, you're probably right. Yeah, yeah.
Because he has to be such a figurehead for Hell's Kitchen, and they're doing this stuff twice a year.
I know. It's too much. It just ended.
Way too much.
Yeah. Hell's Kitchen, Kitchen Nightmares, and MasterChef were all on at the same time. There were new episodes in the same week of all three shows. I'm like, God, how much do you think we can stand?
It's almost like Exhibit, because you think about, okay, we're going to take a break from watching a Gordon Ramsay show, and now he's got the AT&T commercial.
Yes.
So let me take your Gordon Ramsay and put some Gordon Ramsay in your Gordon Ramsay for your Gordon Ramsay.
I heard you like Gordon Ramsay.
Yeah, I heard you like Gordon Ramsay. Yeah,
yeah, well, I mean, he is a busy guy because he's always up in his office doing work on Hell's Kitchen.
Oh, I love that.
I love the office shows, the books and everything.
I've got some paper here, and I'm jotting down some notes.
Oh. Gordon Ramsay's life is all paperwork. That's all I do up here.
I'm writing notes about the witty things I'll say when I hang up the jackets.
I love the fact that they think we believe that's a real office. Or when he has a quote-unquote press conference. How come that's not reported the day it happens? Because all those people are failed actors who answered a casting call. It's like, why do you think we believe this is a real thing that you're doing? Or maybe they know we know it's not. I don't know. Does anyone think, wow, he did a press conference?
Like, but he's not from America, so maybe he's like, hey, these people are gullible as shit.
Yeah, probably.
Well, you know, there are probably really people who think that it's live, that it's actually ongoing, that it didn't take, you know, 3 weeks to do.
You're probably right, yeah.
And when I went to audition for Hell's Kitchen, the thing that most interested me, I guess, was in the audition process, they talked to us about what it would be like if you actually got there. And they pretty much starve you. The only food that they really give you is like
scraps off the floor.
No, it's not that, because that's actual food. Is like sugar, anything with sugar
water.
like sugar water, like Coke, and anything to keep you buzzed and on edge, because they want you buzzed and on edge.
Like junk food, like the guy that killed Harvey Milk.
Yes,
the junk
and
food
so
thing.
Like when you're kicked off or whatever, they take you and put you in this really nice place where they can evaluate you mentally until it's all over.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty crazy.
Yeah. Because
they're like, here, have some LSD.
Because what it looks like, you're having dinner service. It could be 4 a.m.
Yeah, right.
It could be at any time. And they, you know, it's so compact that they're just trying to rush this whole process through. And now that he's doing it twice a year, I don't understand how anybody is doing any of it.
Yeah, yeah, even the cameramen or whatever. Could I tell you an awesome theory that I heard? I think it was on Reddit, a thread that was like, you know, what's an Ask Reddit thread? And it was that someone has a theory, and I love it, that the ovens and all the cooking equipment and everything, the griddle top, whatever, is remotely controlled by the producers. Because, like, how all these people are
believe that.
Executive chefs, it's like, you've cooked a chicken breast before, you know how it works, you know how an oven works. How are you setting up raw food all the time? And I was like, that sounds like a pretty good theory.
And if you actually do watch the show, which apparently we all do, they usually have a lot of problem with the beef Wellington.
Yeah, yeah.
These people know how to cook.
Right.
You do have to know how to cook to get on the show. And so you mean to tell me that these people can't operate a standard piece of machinery that they've done every day in and day out for the length of their careers? It makes sense, because sometimes you'll catch them saying, well, it's not working. The stove isn't working.
Yeah.
It's not working. Why would it not be working?
Right, right. Why don't they just send
me up there? I can't cook worth a crap anyways.
Yeah, and so there you go. But these people are like, they own restaurants and stuff.
Yeah.
And Beef Wellington is, you put it in the oven, you set it and forget it.
Yeah.
So what's going on? Something's going on there.
That makes a lot of sense.
I really like that theory. And now when it's still on right now, so now when you watch it this week, there's no way that they would let anything slip like that. But
they need a really crappy trophy for that as well.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm not really sure what it could be.
Yeah.
If they could make it any more phallically obvious, that would also be great.
Some other sort of sex toy. I mean, like a glass butt plug. I mean, how about that?
Here, it's smaller. It's not as good as the MasterChef trophy.
God, I would name this episode "Glass Butt Plug" in a second if I could. But
I do that all the time. I have all these. I usually have all these thoughts when we're doing our show. Like, if I could get away with this, I think that I might.
Because we don't curse liberally, but every so often, we say.
Yeah,
but I still haven't put the NSFW tag on our show, because it's like, what does that
mean? Don't do
it. Where do you work? Where are you listening to podcasts with the speakers turned up all the way in your cubicle?
Yeah.
No one does that.
It's your own fault if it gets you in trouble.
Yeah,
you moron.
Honestly, if your boss heard you listening to a podcast about butt plugs, that's your fault.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, there's no Katy Perry podcast. I wonder if there's a butt plug podcast.
There has to be.
Probably.
You know, I haven't explored
I'm not going to Google that using the work Wi-Fi, though.
Probably not.
Podcast.
You're taking the show in a different direction, see?
You're listening to the buttcast.
Let me get on my mobile hotspot before I Google that.
I haven't explored, but I know. I mean, it's got to be a popular.
I haven't explored what? Where are we going? That's where I thought we were going.
I haven't explored the human butt as much as I should.
Well, let's just call Richard Gere. Let's get him in here. It's totally fine.
But that's got to be, because there's also a great theory. I definitely didn't make this up, that new technology only exists if the adult industry can make use of it. That's why VHS took over instead of Betamax. That's why a lot of technology exists, because the internet is so big, because adult film can. So there's a theory that either the military or the porn industry can use it, then it's going to be a viable commodity or whatever. And so podcasts are pretty popular.
Yeah.
So that must be. But I haven't explored the deep web of sex podcasts yet. But I know they're out there.
Yeah.
Gotta be.
I'm sure there are people who could greatly tell us.
Yeah. So if you're a trucker, give us
Breaker
a tweet.
Breaker 1-9.
I imagine that's an entirely trucker audience. I heard that was GD. Tweet us if you're a trucker.
I mean, there's a Playboy XM
Sirius channel.
Series,
yeah. And there was a Maxim one for a while that I guess was just a little bit like diet, style. Yeah. So, yeah.
Speaking of TV, though, do we want to talk about, I've been wanting to. I did not hear the episode of what you thought about Gotham.
I listened to that. That was, last week's episode, which
did
I did listen to.
Did you watch this week's episode?
No, I haven't.
Okay, I'm only on episode one as well. So Carson's the one that's going to have to keep his eye on spoilers.
I want
to
know what you think about it first.
Okay.
Share with our audience, because they probably haven't.
It really kind of is sad to me. One of my sometimes co-hosts, Jamie, she was really down on Gotham initially because of Jada Pinkett Smith.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd seen a lot of it before. I'd actually ended up seeing the vast majority of episode one and part of episode two through screeners and such. And there were lots of changes to episode one that I saw on television and that I got to screen. I thought that was interesting, because that never happens to us. We get screeners for stuff all the time, whether it's kids shows or movies, and there was a lot of changes.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. Let me say this. Batman has been a part of my life for a long time. I mean, Tim Burton's Batman is one of the biggest experiences, one of the first experiences I remember as a kid.
Oh, yeah.
Having the toys, having the shirt, the McDonald's Happy Meal stuff. Everything was Batman. We have seen Batman's origin story over and over and over so many times that, when the talking heads have begun to talk about Ben Affleck in the Justice League movie, the vast majority of people have said, I don't want to see another origin story. And everybody agrees. We don't need another one.
It's my problem. It's a problem with Spider-Man, too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's every time.
Come By on. The way, speaking of Ben Affleck, did you see him on Jimmy Fallon the other night?
No.
He is huge.
He's ripped.
I did see some photos of him in the suit
online.
I think maybe it was Reddit, and I thought, I know that's not a stunt double.
No.
Holy crap.
I was on Jimmy Fallon wearing a three-piece suit the other night, and you could just tell when he moved his arm certain ways. I was like, he is huge.
But we've seen this origin story so many times over the last 20-something years. I think this is the most poor adaptation of that story.
Mm-hmm.
We know, just the average person who knows about Batman knows how he became Batman. The Nolanverse, incredibly popular. And then you have this.
Mm-hmm.
It was way too forced for me. It was like, yeah, we know. Martha Wayne's going to get shot in the alley, see? I don't buy the kid as Bruce Wayne.
Yeah, I like that kid, too, because he was on the show Touch that I liked.
Yeah.
But he didn't talk. So maybe that's why.
Maybe that's why. Like him, yeah.
Maybe that's why he was so good.
I don't
know.
Like the characters are just too much for me. I understand that it is a comic book show, but I really think that Marvel is getting it right with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. They're doing it the right way.
Mm-hmm.
You watch the first episode of Gotham, the buildings look comic-esque. it doesn't come off as Gotham City to me. That was another one of my big pet peeves. It's like, that looks like St. Louis. That doesn't look like Gotham or Metropolis.
You know, it doesn't look like Burton's Gotham.
No.
Or definitely not Schumacher's Gotham. But it reminds me of Nolan's Gotham, which was essentially Chicago and a little bit of Toronto, I think. And so...
I really wish that if they had told that story a little differently. I understand they're trying to set us up for the big bad for the entire season with who killed Bruce Wayne's parents, whoop-de-doo.
Which I guess is going to be weird. Is it not going to be Joe Chill?
It's supposed to be.
I mean, are they flipping it on us? Because Sarah was asking me while we were watching it. She was like, oh, is that the guy who kills? I was like, well, no, it's a guy named Joe Chill, and he catches him, but it begins his relationship with revenge,
right?
Which is defines Batman, and I was like, but honestly, I don't know, because they got this guy Mario Pepper, which I don't know if that's from the. I'd never heard that name before.
Well, to me, besides that,
yeah,
they were. It was just okay. We have all these characters that we need to introduce in this series. Let's just take a whole big handful of them and throw them at it and see what it is. The Catwoman, ridiculous. Selina Kyle, literally, she was like up on top of the gate while they're driving through.
Yeah.
No one notices that.
Right.
Come on. And I really felt like Poison Ivy, she was really forced. Like, that was really forced in there. I get it.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? I get we have to introduce these characters, but people are watching the show because they know these characters.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Okay, it's going to be a crime drama. That's fine. But don't force this stuff on us. People know this. This isn't like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., where a lot of these characters you don't know. They're lesser-known comics characters. I mean, you've cast and written a series based around two, you know, really kind of lesser-known characters with their backstory. Everybody knows Jim Gordon, but a lot of folks don't know how he became Jim Gordon.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine. You want to base the show on it, but, you know, the other stronger characters, no one really knows. So don't stream in these random folks that I do know as kids, because I just don't buy it.
It is really weird, and it was really what I think one of the shortcomings was that was the pilot that we saw.
Yeah.
And if they had the money, which I'm sure they didn't want to spend, they should have made the pilot, shown it to the suits, and said, this is, you know, you're essentially seeing everything, and then reshot episode one.
Yeah.
Don't show us the pilot. Because that's what it was. They were like, hey, guess what? You're going to see the Riddler and the Penguin and Catwoman and Poison Ivy, and you're going to see the mob guy. What's his name?
Falcone.
You're going to see Falcone. Remember him from the Nolan? And you're going to see, you know, and so they shoved all these things in for that reason. Oh, Barbara Gordon's hot now? Yeah. She's not old?
And she's bi? What?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
That came out exactly. I was like, whoa.
That was the first thing that popped up on Twitter after it was over. It was like, girls bi.
Not the only thing that popped up.
Yeah. But, like, to me it was, okay, yeah, we get it. Edward Nygma is the Riddler.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's with all the riddles, Nygma? Oh, come on. Yeah. It was written. Yeah.
Hey, Penguin, you look like a penguin, Cobblepot. Has anyone told you look like a penguin because you look like one and your nose is like a penguin?
I don't like it when you call me Penguin.
Stop calling me Penguin because I'm not a penguin.
You think that guy's going to be the Penguin? I just don't know.
I have no
idea. He might be the Penguin.
I haven't figured it out yet.
I'm in the dark.
I'm kind of the same way as you. Like, it's boring.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm through episode two, and I'm not going to give anything away because you. But it, like, I seriously got bored halfway through episode two, and I actually finished it last night after the party that we were at.
Well, I got bored as well, and I thought I have to watch this. Like, I have to watch it so I can talk about it. But I did a lot of other stuff while I watched it.
Yeah,
I was reading Facebook and then flipping over to Twitter. And then I Snapchat a couple dick pics to some people.
Ghost chat.
But it's a ghost chat. Yeah. But I mean, they're going to keep throwing money at this because they have to. They have to be competitive. DC just doesn't have their bearings. I honestly feel like they really feel that they're losing this game already.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure they've watched Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and I'm sure they watched how it last season ended, how strong it started back this season. It's game over for DC.
Yeah.
It really is.
I don't know what...
They should have went on top with the last Batman series and just went, all right, we're going to give it a break for a while.
Yeah.
Because Superman is crap.
Oh, yeah, Man of Steel.
Like, I was not a big fan of that.
Yeah, I enjoyed it, but not much.
Yeah.
You know,
it was about 20 minutes too long for me.
I kept long.
Is this over? Spoiler alert, if you haven't seen it, you can just turn away for a second, but... Like, his goal is to protect Metropolis, and they destroy Metropolis.
Yeah, yeah.
I read somewhere that someone said that it wasn't really a Superman movie. It was more like a Clark Kent with superpowers movie. Like, he didn't come into his own as Superman. So, what are we going to do with Man of Steel 2? I mean, their direction is wrong. They could have taken many notes from a lot of the Spider-Man movies. You know, let's throw every character we can find in there and ruin your franchise. I'm not sure what DC does if this doesn't go over well.
Well, and I think it's like you said, they're forcing it. Marvel has done such a great job of building all these characters and then bringing them together in one movie, and now they're just trying to go, well, look, we're going to bring Aquaman, we're going to do this, we're going to do this, Wonder Woman, blah, 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 and we're just going to throw them in one movie.
But see, Marvel slow-rolled us with Iron Man.
Correct.
Iron Man was so good, and it got people back with Robert Downey Jr.
You know,
it really got you in the mood for, okay, I can give you my money for this.
And the great thing about it was, like, if you go up to 10 people on the street, 10 of them won't know Iron Man's origin story.
No.
You know?
Not,
so
not at all.
I didn't know that. And I heard Jon Favreau talking about that. He was like, that was a long shot. That was a gamble. Iron Man wasn't a household name. He's not even in most people's top 10 list at the time when that movie came out. He was like, there was no guarantee that that was going to work. And the entire Marvel universe from now until the end of time rested on the shoulders of Robert Downey Jr. and Jon Favreau. And it worked.
And I love the guy, but Jon Favreau.
Yeah.
They gave that to Jon Favreau.
I know.
They wouldn't do that now.
Right, right. He had already, you know, he had a couple flops underneath, you know, with the Zathustra. What was the Jumanji sequel kind of thing, whatever that was?
Bad.
No, he had some movies that didn't do very well, and the movies that he did do well was stuff like Swingers or Maid that was very on a small scale. And so giving him something that huge, and he knocked it out of the park.
Yeah.
And he made, you know, he's responsible for a lot of what Marvel is doing now.
Yeah.
And DC, but, you know, I feel like, If there's anyone from DC listening to this, which I doubt, they're probably pulling their hair out yelling because they tried to go that route. They're like, all right, maybe you guys want like a Green Lantern. No one knows the Green Lantern. Maybe we'll do a Green Lantern movie.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, no, we don't want to see that. We don't want to see that one either.
No,
well,
we don't.
All right, what about, you know, I feel like they tried stuff before and nothing stuck. And so they're like, all right, fine. You guys want Batman? We'll give you Batman.
Yeah.
And we love the Batman. And then, you know, they tried Superman Returns and that really sucked. And,
yeah.
And so whatever they're doing isn't working. I guess maybe they need to work with, you know, I like Zack Snyder too, and that didn't work. So I don't know what director they could get that could pull it off. Maybe that's what it is—just the writer and the director.
Maybe they
Joss Whedon
need to disappear for a few years and then regroup and then come out.
We've said this a bunch on our show, and the founders and I we've talked about this a whole lot. This is a conversation that we'd rehashed through our Tweet the Geeks and a lot of other stuff that we've done. What is the actual approach that DC should take to their universe? Animated. They should go all animated.
Hmm.
Their animated films on point.
Yeah, I've never seen that.
The Dark Knight Returns.
Right.
One of the
people
best
love
things you can watch if you like Batman.
Yeah.
And people are so vested in Batman, unlike any other, you know, any other DC superhero besides Superman, unless you're Jerry Seinfeld, you know, but that's really all you have to choose from. And it's the way that they've written it, and it's their own fault. It's the way they've set these characters up. You know, with Marvel, you can go back and forth from Spider-Man to Captain America to Thor, and it all feels natural to you because it's all connected. You know, they tried with the New 52 to connect everything because that's what Marvel did, and that didn't really work. Mm. You know, I don't know what they're going to do, but if I don't assume that Dawn of Justice will flop, but on the instance that it does, game over.
Yeah, I would be shocked if it's considered a flop.
Yeah.
But with a movie that like that that's going to have the huge marketing budget and how much it's going to cost to make, I mean, if it makes $100 million, it might be considered a flop.
Yeah.
It's going to cost a lot more than that to get people. And it's like everything they come out with, I'm excited. I'm like, guys, just stop coming out with stuff about it because I don't. I'm going to see it, but everything you come out with doesn't excite me anymore.
No.
I've reached my max level of excitement for this movie until maybe I see some footage. But I doubt even that I'll be like, okay, I'll still go see it, even though I'm not excited about it. I'm going to go see it, you know?
And why was the Batmobile on the bottom of the Star Wars thing?
Did you see that video?
Cool.
I'm fine with that.
I was just wondering. And it wasn't even the current Batmobile.
No.
It's the Tumbler, but it's not.
It's the Tumbler, yeah. Which, it's not the one that, you know why I like that? Because I'm a big fan of Mystery Science Theater, and their set was all just crap glued to the wall. And so I kind of like that in a big, you know, like, no one's going to see it on screen, you know? But we're going to know it's there because J.J. Abrams showed it to us. And, you know, if you looked at the Mystery Science Theater set, you could see a Millennium Falcon. And,
right.
Oh, can you see the bowling pin or whatever? And I don't know. So I kind of thought that was cool. Now, that's a movie that everything they come out with gets me more excited.
Yeah.
Everything J.J. Abrams does. And he's so genius with his tweets, like the pictures that he sends out.
Yes.
It's like a blurry background, and you're like, oh my gosh, that looks like the Death Star or
Murphy
something.
Murphy takes off his glasses to see if the blurriness will cancel each
other
out.
I'm like, oh, maybe if I take my glasses off, it'll become clear. No, yeah. Still, it's even blurrier. Dang.
Doesn't work that way. No. Sorry.
So I think he's a genius with the way he's coming out with these little Easter eggs of information.
And that's what we want. That's the kind of reveals that we want.
Yeah.
DC, you know, the way that they've revealed some of the things to us, which they haven't done a whole lot, but, you know, it's been in the form of, like, some kind of announcement. Gal Gadot, for instance, who is horribly wrong.
In her, like,
for
brown
Woman.
Brown Wonder Woman outfit. Brown and gray.
It was pretty much just like,
you know, the American colors.
It's pretty much just like, so this chick's going to be Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
Which sent everyone to the internet. Not like, hey, you're going to be Wonder Woman. Let me tell you about this. And let me tell you about what we're doing with the story. It's just Gal Gadot has been cast as Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
And when we flocked to the internet, we were like, huh. That doesn't look right.
Yeah.
There are lots of things missing from her Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
And everything that they do from top to bottom just is wrong. It's almost like they have someone working them with controls from the back end that's just laughing maniacally, like, I'm just going to mess this up for you.
I wonder if it's, you know, maybe the difference in approach is maybe the DC camp is being run by the suits, whereas Marvel's like, oh, Joss Whedon, you were a fan of this thing? Oh, people that are in it and people that are writing it and people that are directing it grew up with it? So you're going to treat it with the, you know, the respect it deserves and the deference and all, like maybe that's the difference.
Well, and it seems like they actually get the casting right. I mean, come on. Yeah. Robert Downey Jr. as Tony Stark?
Perfect.
Think about it, though. Now Marvel can. Marvel had RDJ in a good spot for Iron Man because he needed it.
Oh, yeah.
But now, you know, people have gone back and forth. Is Disney good for Marvel? Is Disney good for Star Wars? Obviously.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Disney has the money to put the power, the buying power behind anyone. You know, we've talked about Robert Downey Jr., whether or not there's going to be an Iron Man 4. If they want one, they'll just back those dump trucks up to his house.
Oh, yeah.
And it'll happen. And I'm not saying that money is the key. But the Disney executives, they do know how to make good movies, and they've done it for years. But they've also taken a very hands-off approach, which is why I'm totally fine with Star Wars and them just handing it over to J.J. Abrams because they recognize, here's a capable guy.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to let him do his job. Same thing with Joss Whedon. Here's a super capable guy. Let's not talk about Buffy or some of this other stuff. That's not. Here's
Buffy.
A super
People
capable
still love
guy.
Buffy, though.
Yeah. He's a fan.
Yeah.
All right. He's not going to screw this up.
J.J. Abrams grew up, he loves Star Wars. Yeah. He's got a respect for it, you know.
I think it's fine. It's going to be fine. The story, who knows what the story is going to be? You know, there's a lot of stuff floating out there about the story for Star Wars. I don't care.
Yeah.
Because
you're still going to go watch it.
Well, it's got to be better than episode one.
Yeah, definitely.
You know?
And if I get a Star Wars movie every year, I'll go. I don't care.
His head will explode.
What you're going to do. Yeah, I can't believe that we may be living in an era where I get to go see a Star Wars movie
because,
every single year.
You know, like when they re-released the original trilogy back into the theaters, I remember talking with my friends, and we're like, we've got to go see this.
Yeah.
And at that point in time, our town didn't have a super humongous megaplex. We had a twin cinema, and we weren't going to get it. But, you know, a town 35, 40 minutes away was going to get it. So it was a huge ordeal for us to go. And it was amazing to see it on the big screen. You know, their formula that they're working with the Marvelverse is working so well. They can't not apply that to Star Wars.
Yeah,
they have to.
I got to say, when I went to go see Episode One when it was re-released, I think I went to see it in 3D, and I didn't. We only have an XD screen down here, and I don't think I went to see it on that. But I still was sitting there, and I was like, I almost walked out.
Yeah,
I was like, I haven't watched this movie all the way through, maybe since it came out. You know, when it's on, you know, Spike or TBS or some, you know, they show it sometimes. I can watch like 5, 10, 15, 30 minutes of it at a time. It'd been a long time since I watched it all the way through. I almost walked out. I was like, what am I doing here?
Yeah.
I was like, I don't like this.
No.
I felt like that was a big deal. It was like killing me all over again. But you know what? Not even really, because when I saw it in high school, I was just still so excited about there being new Star Wars
yes.
that I was defending it. I was like, no, it's good. It's good, everybody.
Yeah.
And now I watch it and I'm like, Oh, man.
That's rough.
I don't walk out of anything, and I'm thinking about walking out of a Star Wars movie.
Of a Star Wars
film. It's the Taken 2 of Star Wars movies.
Yeah. Exactly. Before we move on to some new trailers, one misstep, and I say that, maybe it's not, but everyone seems to be doing it these days, and everyone makes double the money, but there sources say the third Avengers movie could be split into two movies.
Hmm.
Avengers 3 Part 1 and Avengers 3 Part 2, like Harry Potter started for everybody and made everybody... like us, have to go buy two sets of movie tickets ever since, you know, there's Twilight and the Hunger Games, and everybody does it now. I wouldn't like that, but, oh, gosh, The Hobbit is even maybe the best example.
Yeah.
One tiny book, smaller than all the Lord of the Rings books, and they split into three movies. But I'm okay with it, because Peter Jackson makes amazing movies. I don't know how I don't think I appreciate that, but I'll go see two Avengers movies, for crying out loud. But why do you have to do, like...
Well, I'll defend it.
Yeah.
If... Avengers 3 is the Civil War, the mm-hmm. Marvel Civil War, then you need two movies.
Mm-hmm.
You just can't tell that story in 3 hours.
Yeah.
And I'm fine with that. If they're already planning for that now, that's a good thing,
mm-hmm.
because that means that they're probably already planning for Spider-Man and how they'll incorporate him in. They're probably already planning for these other characters that have to be in place for that movie to even make sense. If it is not the Civil War storyline, it's dumb,
mm-hmm.
you know. But
mm-hmm.
that is such a huge part of the Marvelverse that one movie's just not going to do it, because it's not going to be some crappy aliens from wherever that Iron Man really could defeat on his own.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
It's going to be serious business. And I'm fine with it if that's the way they go. They've got a long way to go before they get there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it really kind of, I think, depends on how Age of Ultron does.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see.
Yeah. I mean, all of that's going to be based on how that does.
Yeah.
You know, I guess it wouldn't make a difference if they hadn't told me. You know, if I'm sitting there like, oh, this could have been one movie. But if they were like, oh, the Avengers 3 and then the Avengers 4, what's wrong with that?
Yeah.
You know? Just call it 4.
Yeah.
That makes it more exciting.
Call it 4, release it in 6 months, because you know we know you have it done,
yes.
And let's do it.
Yeah.
I'm fine with that.
I wish no one had told me. I guess that ignorance is bliss, you
yeah.
know? Let's talk about some of these trailers. There three came out that I'm very excited about. One is TAC3N, which looks like a total ripoff of Taken, if you ask me. It's got Liam Neeson.
Mm.
He looks like he's playing the same character. It's spelled T-A-K, the number 3-N. TAC3N. What do you think of this?
It's just like you said. It's another Taken.
Yeah.
We love hearing him threaten people on the phone.
Yeah. I'm, of course, talking about Taken 3, which they've integrated
yes.
the number in the title, a la 7. And it looks good. And just to make sure, I'm going in with my expectations really low.
Oh, yeah. Super low.
Because Taken 2 was so awful. I went back and watched the trailer. And
we
I remember
did.
Being
yeah.
super excited about the trailer. I was like, I didn't even know they were making a Taken 2.
Right.
I'm sitting in the theater. All of a sudden, I forgot what movie I'm even seeing because I just want to watch Taken 2. And then Taken 2 finally comes out. And it's the worst.
Oh.
And so I went back and watched the trailer for Taken 2 today, and it's pretty good. And the trailer for Taken 3 is, like, really good.
Yeah.
And
really, really good.
And
yeah.
really bloody, too. And so I went and looked, and it's still, it's at this point, it's rated PG-13, I guess is what they're going for, which scares me.
Yeah.
Because you can't make a good PG-13
Murphy didn't notice
movie.
This, so I'm going to ask you. Did you notice that the very last line in the trailer came from... Taken 1, it's just reversed?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, it's,
I'm
yes.
so glad that somebody else recognized
yeah.
it.
I read a whole Reddit thread about it.
Okay.
Because Reddit blew up.
Yeah, yeah.
It was like, you know, here's this trailer. What do you think? And there were far more people who were happy with it than not.
Mm-hmm.
I was kind of surprised about that. It does suck that they kill Famke Jensen.
I know.
Yeah.
On the trailer, no
she's
less.
She's incredible hot.
Yeah,
man,
yeah.
She's just, oh, man, I love her.
I did tell Murphy that they're going to have to redeem themselves with this. That's why
yeah.
I think it came out. I think everybody was so disappointed in Taken 2. They're like, look, we've got to make a third one just to correct this.
Do you get the sense that he's not going to make it through this movie?
Ooh. Oh, that sound. I like that he sacrifices himself
mm-hmm.
for Maggie Grace or whatever her name
yeah.
is.
I watched the trailer a couple times because I watched it the first time and I was like, look, I cannot be that excited about Taken 3.
Yeah.
I probably should rewatch that just to kind of get myself in check.
Yeah.
And after watching it again, I thought, huh, they've set this up so that he sacrifices himself at the end some way and it stops it all.
Yeah.
I mean, we're ending the franchise. We're going forward from there.
Unless if they try to pull some Shia LaBeouf and Indiana Jones bullshit,
no,
I'm
no,
going to be very
no.
upset. Do you remember when that was a possibility? They were like, oh, they're setting it up for him to take over the... If Maggie Grace... We don't want to see Maggie Grace on the phone threatening somebody.
No.
Don't set it up for
that. Because the terrorist would just laugh in her face. Yeah. He wouldn't even say good luck. He would just be like, no, you're... Okay, we're hanging up now.
Forrest Whitaker looks awesome in this. He's always good as like an authoritative, like a cop in a suit.
Yes.
If Forrest Whitaker plays a cop in a suit... I'm there. I love the idea of him being in
this. It doesn't
matter
if you can tell if he's looking at you or not. It's fine.
I think he's going to be amazing. And I did some math on this because I was like, I wonder why they're making another one. Taken 2 domestically did a little bit less than Taken. Taken 1 got $145 million at the box office. Taken 2, $140 million. But Taken opened with $25 million. Taken 2 opened with $49 million. So its first weekend was double what Taken 2 was. So
that
explains why we're getting a new... Because if it makes just as much as the other two, which, if trends stay where they are, it probably will. That's why they're making another one. So I was curious about that.
You make a good point that they could possibly do this to sort of redeem themselves.
Yeah.
I've kind of thought about this since I saw the Lego movie, which Liam Neeson was... freaking great in.
He was.
I mean, he made that movie for me.
That's coming on HBO soon, by the way, so I'm looking forward to catching it.
It's so good. Liam Neeson's a pretty great actor. He's good at what he does. I can't imagine that he was very happy with how Taken 2 was received. I just can't. So I didn't delve to see if he's an executive producer or anything in this film, but I just wonder if there's some other driving force that he is behind. If let's make this good.
Yeah.
I mean, because really he's getting lumped into these roles, you know.
Yeah.
The thing that he was in was on the airplane.
Nonstop.
It's like taken on the airplane. There was something
unknown.
Else. Yes, unknown. Yeah.
Which I liked. I thought
it wasn't bad, but it's like, okay, this is he's become this role,
yes,
which
yeah.
sucks because he's a great actor.
Yeah, he's very he's nuanced. I mean, that voice can do stuff besides threaten people over the phone lines. It's I love him and stuff. I wanted to see Nonstop. I didn't get a chance to see it, but I knew what it was going to be. Taking on an airplane, he said. Yeah. A Walk Among the Tombstones, the one that just came out again.
Yep.
Threatening somebody on the phone.
Yeah.
I'm going to find you. Wait, what movie is this? Are you on the right script? Yeah, it's a Walk Among the Tombstones.
Is this Netflix?
Okay,
or where are we?
Even the terrorist's like, wait, I've seen this movie. It doesn't end well for me.
Yeah.
No, this is a whole new movie.
No, I just back down. Let me just hang up the phone.
I saw this movie a long time ago. I'm excited, but my expectations are way low. Taken 3.
Oh, yeah. And that's the best way to go into a movie like this.
Yeah.
One of the guys that used to be on our show, I used to make him go watch bad movies with me. And because I knew that he hated it. For instance, the Arnold Schwarzenegger movie where he was the sheriff.
Oh, with The Last Stand, maybe?
I'm too old, or whatever it is that he says. One of the worst things I've ever seen. But also one of the greatest movie experiences I've ever had. Because there were like four people in there.
Yeah.
Johnny Knoxville's in the movie.
Yeah.
It was just fun.
Luis Guzman?
Yeah, Luis Guzman was in it. I mean, it's not supposed to be good. We get it. It's fine. Schwarzenegger apparently got it. Just enjoy yourself.
You know what I have on the DVR that I'm psyched about? Escape Plan. The one with him and Stallone. Have you seen it?
No, I haven't.
I can't. I when I saw the trailer, I was like, I like the concept.
Yeah.
It looks awful, but I can't wait to see it. I'm
open the door.
I
know how to open the door. Prison.
Just those two guys. Yeah.
You can't do it.
You understand anything.
It's like Face Off, you know, with Nick Cage and Travolta. Yeah.
Two of the great team ups, you know. On the other hand, my expectations could not be higher for Inherent Vice, the latest movie from Paul Thomas Anderson. I can't think of a director besides Wes Anderson.
Right.
Maybe it's an Anderson thing. Whose movies that I've seen, Tarantino would be another one, I have liked. Everything they have done.
Mm-hmm.
Paul Thomas Anderson did The Master, There Will Be Blood, Boogie Nights, Magnolia, Punch Drunk Love. And the only one I haven't seen of his really is Hard Eight.
Yeah.
And people say that's amazing, his first movie. So I'm so excited for this movie, Inherent Vice. It's got an amazing cast. Josh Brolin, Joaquin Phoenix, Benicio Del Toro, Owen Wilson. Martin Short I saw in there, Aaron Eckhart I saw. I mean, there's just so many people that aren't even mentioned in the trailer whose faces just flash by. You're like, they're a big star. Their name should be up there. But that's just how packed this movie is. And it looks insane based on a Pynchon novel. The rumor is that he's actually in the movie or the trailer even. Yeah. Notorious recluse Thomas Pynchon may be in the trailer.
You're going to have to run it in slow motion and find out.
I think so,
It does look like a good movie.
Yeah.
Like, I can't wait for December. It's right
December,
here before Christmas, is what it says at the end.
Yeah. I expect, you know, this hadn't been a great year for movies. Carson and I talk about that a lot.
It's crap.
Even The Money says that. It's the slowest box office in 17 years. But now we're officially, I think this weekend with Gone Girl, we're officially entering Oscar season. This is about when it starts.
I think that that's good, though, for the things that have done well. Like you guys talked about last week or the week before, how Grand Budapest Hotel might sneak in for contention. Yeah. I so hope that it does.
I really doubt it. It came out, you know.
Yeah, I know. But still, it would be incredible because it was a good film.
Yeah.
You know, there's not enough of that.
It's his biggest box office film to date, and a lot of people appreciated it who maybe had never even heard of Wes Anderson
before.
Exactly. And there was, I mean, Ralph Fiennes, that's an Oscar-worthy performance that he gives in that movie. And so I really hope someone goes back and is like, everything kind of sucks. What came out in, you know, like I would really wish Monuments Men would have come out late last year.
Yes.
Even though it would have been covered up by a lot of bigger stuff, might have gotten something. I really like
that
movie.
Because it was great. Bill Murray? Yeah.
Right.
Amazing in that film.
I wept. I talked about this. I wept in the movie for like the first time in forever, the scene when my favorite, part of it has to do with the song, but that's part of every movie. The score gets, you know, he's taking a shower and the record from his family is playing. Oh my gosh. Just that alone. I mean, give the man an Oscar for crying out loud. So I really wouldn't mind seeing something for that, but I don't know why they don't go back that far. You know, why?
They should.
Yeah, they definitely should.
Forget about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, you know, Inherent Vice, Gone Girl, I'm sure is going to get something. I went and looked it up. I was like, I wonder when Argo came out. Argo came out October 12th, the weekend it was released, 2012. Mm-hmm. So, and that won the Oscar, obviously. That actually, did it get director and not best picture? I think that's the way it shook out. But still, you know, so this is another Ben Affleck production, which he's been on a roll.
He's an Oscar magnet now.
Totally, yeah. And people love this book, which I haven't read. Yeah. Anybody read? Have you read it?
My wife has read it.
Yeah.
She says that all you need to know is in the trailer.
Yeah.
That it pretty much tells you everything you need to know.
I'm going to say, we don't look like book reading people in this room. Just to be honest.
I have someone do it for me. That's fine. I bought her an iPad.
Write me this book report now. Like a bully.
I did not know until a couple days ago that Tyler Perry was in that.
Yeah,
I
just heard about that too.
I was like, you know, I think I was the one guy in Star Trek that when he popped up, I was like, why is Tyler Perry in this movie? Yeah. Why are you in this film, Tyler Perry?
Yeah, yeah.
Stop it. Stop it. But it looks really good.
Yeah.
And Affleck, he's not bad.
Oh,
people should give him a lot more credit than they have, which really makes me wonder why he's doing Batman.
Well, it's that old J-Lo movie.
Yeah.
I know. Yeah. I mean, that was really his downfall.
Everybody
always
remembers it.
Yeah. I mean, that's what people like to people who don't pay that close attention. Like, oh, the Geely guy. Come on. It's like, man. Oh, my God. I mean, do you not see Argo or The Town?
Yeah.
The Town is really when I first started. I saw The Town. I was like, there's got to be something playing. I'll go see a movie. And I saw The Town and I was like, what the hell? This movie just blew my mind.
Right.
It's so damn good. And that's where Jeremy Renner got on the radar for me. I was just someone, you know what? Someone posted like a GIF. You might have seen it on Reddit. Of the scene where they rob the bank, they get to the drop car or whatever it is, and there's a cop staring at him, and he just turns the other way.
Yeah.
And I was going through and looking, and someone had posted the quote that I love. He's like, "We have to go hurt somebody. You can't ask me now or ever why we're doing it." And something else. He's like, "Whose car are we taking?"
Yeah.
You know? I love that. That movie is so good from front to back. And then Gone Baby Gone is amazing. And Argo, of course, which I already mentioned. Yeah, I mean, Affleck has just been doing solid work. Just, I don't know, maybe trying to claw back from that downswing in his career.
Well, he's doing a hell of a job.
Say, he's
done it. Yeah.
Which did make it weird. Oh, and Daredevil, too. You know, Daredevil and Geely were both like a 1-2 punch for his.
That's
like,
a different time.
Yeah.
It's a different place.
Different place. Yeah. Which I didn't hate Daredevil. People badmouth that movie.
No, you
I
hated
saw
Elektra.
I never even saw Elektra, but. But Daredevil,
the best
part
was just seeing her in the suit. That was the best part.
There are worse comic book movies than Daredevil.
Yes, there are.
Catwoman and Elektra. I hate to be down on the women like that, but geez.
What about the one Ryan Reynolds
I think
Reynolds
that's the writers
did.
And director's fault. What's that? The Green Lantern?
Yeah, the Green Lantern.
Yeah, I didn't like that either, even though it had a lot of people in it that I liked. Like Mark Strong and Sarsgaard is in it.
Oh, yeah, he is in that.
Yeah.
I forgot about that,
and I even like Ryan Reynolds. Okay,
I think he's fine for that role. It's kind of like his role as Deadpool in Origins. Ryan Reynolds is Deadpool.
Yeah,
he is.
Yeah, totally. Like the mouth.
It was written poorly.
Yeah,
that was a very bad movie. You know, and I think now we're kind of getting into this age where we can do a couple bad films that people are going to pay money to go see because they're comic book movies, and then people are deciding, let's redeem it.
Yeah.
X-Men Days of Future Past is a perfect example of that. You know, that's the great thing about comics. When you're done, you can just retcon stuff move on. I guess you can do it in movies now, too. I mean, that movie fixed two or three just horrible films.
Mm-hmm.
It was so good that it made you think, well, I don't even remember
Maybe
Cyclops.
Maybe you want to go see Spider-Man 2.
And I just saw a headline today. I just saw a headline today that said
Spider-Man 2 ruined it.
Apocalypse is going to just wipe, like, it's going to wipe those other movies, like, completely off the map for good. It's like, you know, Days of Future Past started it, but Apocalypse is really going to, you know, start the canon over again, I guess. And you know, we mentioned this before that it's, especially after Nolan, people started taking him seriously, like, oh, they're not just kids' movies. You have to write them well.
Yeah.
And some people realize that, and some people don't. Some people put out crap. But the other thing I wanted to mention about Affleck and Gone Girl is we're going to see his bat doodle in Gone Girl. That was kind of making big news this week, that there's a bit of Affleck nudity in it. So there you go. Ladies, if you weren't going to go see it, maybe I sweetened the deal for you.
That's why my wife pre-ordered tickets. I knew it.
Midnight show.
Yeah. All you can hope for is it was cold in the room.
I forget who he was talking to. E maybe, or E.T. or something.
He was in the pool.
Yeah, he was like, I just got out of the pool, and we were like, we got to shoot this scene. I was like, oh no. But he did say it was cold in the theater. So, you know, I guess let everyone know that. But that's what any guy is going to say if they're going to be naked at any time.
He's,
you know,
married to Jennifer Garner. He's fine.
Exactly.
It's
fine. Yeah. But you could be like Michael Strahan or something. I'm stereotyping. But, and you'd say, if you were going to be on screen naked, you'd be like, it was cold. It was cold. Come on, guys. Come on, it was cold.
Thank you, George Costanza, for giving men an out from now until eternity.
The last thing, you know, I wanted to say something about Gotham that I did like it. I'm going to keep watching it.
Yeah.
I like the procedural element to it because I don't watch many procedurals.
Right.
It seems to be all that's on TV. And I like seeing the grunt work that went into what the police were actually doing to find Bruce Wayne.
Yes.
I mean, Martha Wayne and whatever, Mr. Wayne's killer.
Master Wayne.
Yeah. So I do kind of like that. Like, it's finally a show, the most popular type of show on TV that I'm interested in.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get down to it, S.H.I.E.L.D., the first half of that season was a procedural. It was like,
and it was garbage.
I almost gave up on it until The Winter Soldier, which made it absolutely incredible. But I liked it, and I even kind of liked the origin story of being like of the parents being shot, because it was the bloodiest one I'd ever seen. And that hit me in a way that none of them had before. Because normally in a movie you get a very realistic gunshot, a little tiny red dot that slowly. This was like, he was swimming over to his dad in a pool of blood. Like, dad, no. Like, good Lord. And that hit me in a way that death hadn't before. So that added a new element to me, I got to say. It was a little bit grittier, and I like that. I love Donald Logue. I'll see him in anything.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Donald Logue is the man, one of the most underappreciated character actors. Maybe he's exactly appreciated as he should be, since he's, you know, kind of a character actor. But
And I think that's a good role for him.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, that's a great role. And so I did like it, and I'm going to stick with it. But speaking of,
I'm going to stick with it.
Yeah,
I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
As far as
I might not be happy about it a lot of the time, but
like,
I'm going to.
This.
I'm
going to
watch it begrudgingly, like I did S.H.I.E.L.D. and hope it gets better. You know.
Yeah, because the payoff for S.H.I.E.L.D. was enormous, and then at the end of the season, you're like, oh, so were they just, you know, waiting to reveal what happened, or was it really bad, and they realized they needed to change some things? The S.H.I.E.L.D.'s biggest benefit is that there's always a Marvel movie.
On
they
the
can
horizon,
always
yeah.
plug someone in. I just don't know. Gotham doesn't have that.
I know. Yeah,
and
it's
that's
going to
be their downfall. Yeah, I think
that are shoehorned in there.
Yeah,
that we're like, oh, well, what about? Hey, here's a girl named Ivy. I hope she's not Poison, huh? Redhead.
That kid was like swimming in plants. It was so ridiculous.
Yeah,
it was like, oh, where are you, Ivy? I'm just over here in the trees.
They had a very oxygenated, dumpy apartment.
Yeah.
But at least it was well oxygenated.
Yeah. They had not a damn thing to eat, but they had so many plants in there, it was ridiculous.
Yeah,
it's
like,
fine.
You know, you can grow a garden, too. Oh, my gosh. And then feed yourself with healthy food.
Can't eat the plants if you're Ivy.
Oh, you're right. Maybe she doesn't. Wait, is she, like, completely, like, not vegetarian, like a carnivore? Like, she doesn't eat any plants? Do we know that about Poison Ivy?
I think
That's going to be, I heard that was wrong.
Yeah.
That's got it written all over it.
I feel like that would be true, though.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
That has to be true. That has to be, yeah.
So all she eats is meat? That's not a healthy diet. What's that, Atkins, right? Or is that paleo? I get them mixed up. No, because paleo, you can have some, But it's, so maybe it's Atkins.
I mean, we're going to have to look it's that a very, up. Yeah. I feel like that would be accurate.
It's a very low carb, but high fat.
We're going to get nailed for this. It's coming. It's fine.
All the Poison Ivy fans out there. But speaking of procedurals, I did watch, because I like the city of New Orleans, and NCIS is the most popular television on popular show on television. I did want to check out NCIS New Orleans, and it is pretty awful.
The accents are horrible.
The accents are just all over the map. As far as, like, Scott Bakula, who I love. I grew up watching Quantum Leap, favorite show. And so great to see him on TV again. And a lot of people loved Enterprise. And he's, I guess, supposed to be from New Orleans, like, born and bred and ingrained in the community and stuff like that. But he talks like Scott Bakula, except for every so often, he'll just, like, throw in something that sounds a little Cajun, like Adam Sandler on SNL used to do, like, this murder was obviously an act of aggression.
Oh, no. Yeah.
But, no. It's bad.
And here's the other thing about...
And that's the sad thing. I love NCIS, too, but...
And here's the other thing about... they're walking down the street. There's a new girl in town in this first episode. And she's like, oh, you know, I'm thinking about an apartment on Royal Street. And Scott Bakula doesn't correct her. As far as I know, everyone from New Orleans calls that...
It's Royal
Street. Yeah. Yeah. She's like, I don't know, maybe Royal Street.
What do
and he's
they
like,
call
Royal
New
Street, blah, blah, blah.
My dad
it doesn't come up that much.
Yeah, because my dad always was like, oh, we're going to go down to New Orleans.
New Orleans.
And I'm
like,
I'm going to punch you. I'm like, that's not how you say it. It's New Orleans.
I'll have to keep an ear out. Because
it's
one of those shows that if it's on, I'm going to watch, but I'm not going to DVR it or anything. And there's a guy that's supposed to be from Alabama, and you'd appreciate seeing him because it's like, supposedly the actor is even from Alabama, but maybe he's been in L.A. for so long or he's just always had a non-regional dialect that he... It's a caricature of such a... There's a scene where they go into a tattoo parlor and he's like, yeah, man, I got an elephant tattooed on my backside. Roll Tide, you know what I'm saying? And it's such a caricature of like a backwoods... It's like you didn't go to like criminal forensic college or anything. You don't sound anything.
We don't have that there.
Oh,
no.
That's not a friend.
No,
yeah.
No. I will go back to Liam Neeson. I will find them. I have a particular set of skills.
It's what someone with L.A. think a Southerner sounds like.
Yeah.
And I'm insulted, actually. And I'm not even from the Deep South.
Oh.
And then also, the other thing that's kind of funny is like the voodoo lady medical examiner that they have that's like, oh, honey child, come and look at the body. Oh, we have, you know, it's like a very like... like,
you should watch it. It's going to be fun.
Like
for
Miss
you to watch.
Cleo,
no.
or like,
oh, Miss Cleo, that's great. Yeah. She has something to do now. Great.
My frame of reference would be that is a little more obscure is the Voodoo Lady from Monkey Island, the Monkey Island series.
Oh yeah,
that's who
yeah.
I think they got to be the medical examiner. So, but it was the most watched brand new show on TV because it has the word NCIS attached
true.
To it. People watch Chris O'Donnell on TV every week and LL Cool J for crying
out
loud.
Oh, I hate LL
because
Cool J.
They're on an NCIS show, which I had forgotten about. Sarah was like, isn't that one from L.A.? And I was like, no. And she was like, yeah, no, it's Chris O'Donnell and LL Cool J. Like,
it's like
they're not actors.
It's
come
40
on.
40 minutes of LL Cool J just licking his lips over and over again.
Yeah, they're not actors. Surely you don't mean to imply that LL Cool J is an actor now. The other shows that I watched, did anyone see The Simpsons Guy? Did you watch The Family
I did.
Guy? I loved it, honestly. I love The Family Guy anyway, but I'll put this up there with the Star Wars episodes of Family Guy.
It was very much a Family Guy episode.
Yeah.
It was they brought the Simpsons into their world. They did a very nice job, I think, of showing this is Simpsons humor, this is Family Guy humor.
Yeah, yeah.
Specifically with the prank calls.
Yeah.
You know, there are leaky bums, and then what Stewie says about Mo's sister.
You know what I liked about that? You know what I loved about that is that they released that clip knowing it would cause an outrage.
Yeah.
And then the first half of the episode was Peter upsetting a bunch of women with a comic strip. I was like, you guys are freaking geniuses. You know that Gawker and Jezebel would freak out about that. That rape joke, and so you wrote the first half of the episode and then released that part. I was like, you guys are geniuses. You're evil geniuses.
Seth MacFarlane can do no wrong, in my opinion.
Yeah, yeah.
Except maybe for anything that's like, you know, doesn't he have something to do with the NBC Peter Pan debacle?
Oh, does he?
I think he has something to do with that. We're going to say someone advised him to do that because everything Seth MacFarlane does is brilliant. I mean, he knows exactly what people who watch his stuff want, because he was rejected. You know, Family Guy was on the air way before its time. Incredibly funny. It's one of those shows that you can go back and watch earlier episodes of Family Guy that have Bill Clinton in it, and it's still very relevant, you know? I mean, he's a genius, and they did it really well.
There's no doubt about that. Yeah, his comedic mind is Absolutely perfect for. I mean, there's no one like him.
And a lot of the Simpsons references that you knew were coming were still really funny to me.
Yeah,
like
the donuts and
And at the end where they're flying in the ship over Springfield Gorge, and Peter says we're going to make it, and Homer says no, we're not.
Trust
it's
you,
like
we're not.
Yes, all right.
I thought it was such a good episode.
I love when Family Guy was making fun of them about all the yellow people. He's like, don't drink the water.
Yeah. Everybody has hepatitis. Yeah. It looks like. And the courtroom scene was great with everybody sitting next to their counter. I loved how they brought that in and they owned the all the comparisons to Simpsons over the years. They finally owned with the Duff beer. Like they ripped the label off the Pawtucket Patriot and it was Duff.
It's Duff.
It's just Duff with another label on it.
My only issue was the throw in of Bob from Bob's Burgers, and Peter says we got to carry this guy. No, sir.
That was
do not. I know it was really H. John Benjamin and he did it. Don't you dare say that.
Like, yay, we did it.
Yeah.
But the truth of the matter is they are carrying that show. So
yeah, unfortunately, even though that show is super smart and awesome, it is being carried by these heritage shows that pull it up from both ends.
So that's why I got the humor out of it. I was like,
But, the Simpsons still have it. Oh. And that was the great thing to see is that they were super adaptable in doing this. 10 years ago, no way, man. They would not have done that.
I think
that.
There was still a lot of bad blood. I mean, because heard way back when my buddy started hating Matt Groening because he said, and I don't know if this has ever been official or whatever, because I've never taken the time to look it up in the past 15 years or whatever, that Matt Groening told Fox it's either Futurama or Family Guy, and if you drop Futurama, I'll take The Simpsons too. And Fox freaked out and canceled Family Guy and kept Futurama. I don't know if
True.
Yeah. But Groening would have that kind of pull with Fox. Definitely around that time. Like, this show that's only been on 3 or 4 seasons.
Yeah.
And a Matt Groening. So, and I love Futurama and I like Family Guy. So I would hate for that to be true, but I know that there's been a lot of, maybe some bad blood between them. But I like the fact that this sort of, I don't know, reboot their relationship maybe.
Yeah. You know? I would watch it again. If they did it again, I would totally be behind it.
I hope they do. I hope maybe that the Simpsons writers get a crack at the family Simpsons instead of the Simpsons guy. But speaking of the Simpsons, I've always people jump off the bandwagon and say, "Oh, it hadn't been good in 20 years or whatever." I'll always watch it every week, even though I'll admit there are some bad episodes. But that was the best couch gag I've ever seen.
Oh yeah,
I was confused and rolling with laughter, and I had to watch it over and over again. Unbelievable. I was blown away. It blew my mind. It really blew my mind how awesome that couch gag was.
From start to finish, it was a great episode.
I mean,
and I think that, they poked fun at themselves as well as their relationship. One of the funniest things that caught me off guard was they're getting ready to go into court, and Lois says something to the effect of, "Peter, what's the matter?" He's like, "I'm only used to doing this for 30 minutes at a time." It's hilarious. I mean, they did such a great job with that. I hope The Simpsons will return the favor.
Yeah, yeah.
I really do, because people still like the humor of The Simpsons and will still watch it because it's been on television for so long.
Mm-hmm.
But really, Seth MacFarlane can do no wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
And people know it.
I even liked his Oscar performance. I think it was a lot of the older, blue-haired fuddy-duddies who were like, I don't like it. But I thought it was hilarious.
Because it wasn't the traditional.
Yeah, yeah, right. He switched it up a little bit.
Yeah.
So it's a shame he probably won't get a chance to do that again. But I thought it was great. That's all I have written down for the new TV shows and stuff. As far as I heard, that was wrong for this week from last week. Jasta, as far as I could tell, does not have taurine in it, or never did have taurine in it when it existed.
I don't even remember.
But it sure
about
does
that.
Seem tasty. I thought all last week I was like, I really want to try some of that.
You know what?
I really want to.
I still don't remember it.
The Facebook.
No, I don't either.
The Facebook group, they were going to I hope I haven't missed it. I was going to join the event, but then I was like, nah, I don't want to hear a bunch of crap. I'll remember. But they were going to spam Pepsi one day and write emails and call and do for one day, just do a spam blitz on them to bring Jasta back. Now that Coke has brought Surge back. I say it's probably the only thing Pepsi could bring back, but if they brought back Crystal Pepsi,
game over.
The internet would explode.
Shut it down.
Yeah.
Shut it down.
But barring them doing that, Jasta, I think, would be maybe, I don't know, people probably don't remember it. There's probably something else Pepsi made that, but I just want my Jasta back. That's the bottom line. But I thought it had taurine, but its main ingredient was
Guarana.
But
what if you actually got it back and then you tasted it and it was just the Surge moment? You were like,
I find that hard to believe because I never really liked Surge. Surge was always just Mountain Dew to me.
I always thought it kind of tasted Mountain Dew.
Mountain Dew.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess a little more citrusy, yeah, than the Mountain Dew. But that's what Mountain Dew is anyway. I
also don't buy the whole, oh, he drank a 2 liter of Surge and died.
Yeah, yeah.
No, you didn't. That never yeah. happened.
Now, Jolt Cola. Yeah, yeah. I knew a guy. Yeah. A guy in the high school town over did that.
Yeah.
He died.
He's totally
dead. He drank 3 bottles of Jolt Cola. I mixed up, I wrote down old school here, and I hope I didn't say that on the air, because that's completely embarrassing. And it's weird that no one called me on it, but we were talking about the Men in Black 2 scene with David Cross and the Wedding Crashers scene with Will Ferrell, but I wrote down old school, so I hope last week I didn't say old school, but...
You did.
Oh, my gosh.
I think you did.
Unbelievable. I must have, because I took these notes while I was listening, but I couldn't remember who yells... I thought Will Ferrell yelled about Pizza Pockets, and maybe David Cross yells about Pizza Pockets in Men in Black 2. I couldn't find the line that Men in Black from Men in Black 2, but in Wedding Crashers, it's, Ma, meatloaf! Meatloaf! That's what he yells for his mom.
There was something about pizza or something in Men in Black.
Yeah,
too.
Right. I think there is something
that she wanted to make. And
yeah, yells downstairs to his mom. Yeah,
yeah, and he's like, "Ma."
Yeah. And we started a new segment that doesn't have a name yet, where I read bad reviews for awesome movies, and we started off with Shawshank Redemption. And someone said in their review, they were like, "Tim Robbins even said it's the worst movie he's ever done," and you know he's right. And so I looked. I was like, surely a random commenter on the internet knows what he's talking about. And I tried looking it up. All I could find was this. Robin says of Darabont's finished adaptation, it was the best script I've ever read, ever. That's the only thing I could really find about him.
It's totally the opposite of what that one-star moron said.
Right, exactly. We already went over The Way, which I had gotten the plot wrong last time. So, you know what? As much as I talked about hating it when... people do this, I might actually split this episode up into two episodes, because I think it's probably been too long.
Yeah, you did even mention it.
Yes.
I hate it.
So it's going to be the, I heard that was good, part one, and then part two.
But we've got to come up with
week.
A dramatic ending of part one to make them listen to part two.
Right. I came up with a thing where I was like, oh, Josh, what are you doing with that gun? No! And then we stop it right there, and the theme.
Aww.
But then who would have edited... people would be like, well, who edited the show and who put it up online, you know, if they both got shot or if everybody got shot?
It was me.
People that listened to
yeah.
us.
Josh, yeah.
It was the governor of Audio Technical Ministries from JusticeGeeks.com.
They hacked into our account and they uploaded the episode for us, and part two is coming next week. So
that's right.
I don't know. I can't think
you
of a good
just
tease.
Just end it like a Ryan Seacrest thing. Like, out. Find out what Josh
Sequest,
says.
Seacrest out. Oh.
Next.
Right.
Yeah.
That's so
after
annoying.
A week.
Yeah. I hate that.
Yeah, I know. I wonder what American Idol is going to do when it comes back.
Don't care.
I had a little bit of, let me see, taking three. I had a little bit of
yeah,
other
who's
news.
The,
but
who's the last idol to winner?
We can talk about it all probably next week. Oh, you know, I did have this about Shawshank Redemption since I just mentioned it. Even though Tim Robbins thought Frank Darabont did a great job, Stephen King thought it wasn't going to get made because he was, when he saw the finished script, he was like, oh man, there's no way they're going to make this movie. It's too talky. It's great, but there's too much talking. King was wrong, of course, and everybody made a ton of money off of it. Except Stephen King.
Yeah, exactly.
He only charged Darabont $1,000 for the rights to the story, Rita Hayworth and the Shawshank Redemption, and he never even cashed the check. He just framed it and gave it back. Isn't that amazing?
It's not like it's hurting.
Yeah.
No.
But still, yeah.
It's like, oh, they're never going to make this piece of junk based on a story that I wrote.
But
so.
Darabont, like, that kind of did it for him.
Yeah.
Would we have Walking Dead without right. the Shawshank Redemption?
Right, probably not.
No,
yeah.
probably
holy
not.
Crap.
I know. Totally. So there you go. That's I heard that was good for this week, and I guess this week, if you listen to it, we've never had a two-part episode before.
How long is this
We
episode?
Do have to, let's
like,
see.
Do we really need it to be two parts?
Nah, probably not. With editing, that the same
yeah, we bit, fooled you.
I thought we talked for like 2 hours. Yeah. No, I'm not going to split
no,
this up.
No, we waited here for 2 hours.
Oh, yeah.
You're welcome.
2 hours.
You're welcome.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah, so no, this is
if
fine.
If you can see Josh, he's a hell of a lot bigger than me.
But isn't it weird,
that's
like...
Right. I am.
I was making all these
we're
plans for the...
We're close to the same shirt, kind of, by
yeah,
the way.
Yeah, it's very yeah. close, yeah.
It's because we're both lovers of Iron Man.
It's weird talking about... Because I was talking about the future, but now when I listen to this, it'll be past him talking about something he was going to do that he didn't end up doing... I could just edit out the last, like, 10 minutes of the podcast, and then it'd be even shorter. But I'm not going to do that. I'm going to leave in the discussion about...
Well, you keep talking, we will need to make
yeah.
these two parts.
That's my okay. idea. I thought it'd be really ironic if I
just Val
going.
Kilmer it. It's
yeah.
fun.
Put Val Kilmer over the whole thing. It's going to be an hour 13 of Val Kilmer.
That would actually
right
be awesome.
Yeah,
now.
I was about to say, you should
know,
do that at some
know
point.
You people would be waiting to go, okay, yeah. is he going to end? Is he going to end?
Like, what
and
are they spoiling? It's like taking up the whole episode.
Hey, what's up? It's Tim Murphy, and it's Kurt Case. Yeah. I heard that was good, and hold on, we'll be right back, and it's just Val Kilmer.
Yeah. My favorite Val Kilmer song, All Children Are
Beautiful.
That's
going to be our 100th episode.
Yeah, 100th episode is going
to
be awesome.
Don't do that, guys. don't do that to people.
And it's going
to
be that same song, All Children Are Beautiful, over and over and over again for an hour. So that's going to be great. So look forward to that in 5 weeks. Josh Steen from Just Us Geeks.
Thank
you,
guys. You
want to plug anything? I know you got tons of stuff always going on.
We have too much stuff. Literally too much stuff going on. You can check out our show on Stitcher Radio and on iTunes. Do it on iTunes, because if you've upgraded to iOS 8, you should definitely do it there, because it's on your phone now.
Yeah, finally, they put the podcast app on there. I had to keep explaining to people, like, they're like, how do I find it? I was like, I don't have Apple. And I was like, I don't know, like, do you have to download a podcast app? No, you don't have to.
No, my shiny new iPhone 6 Plus.
Whoa,
just does
look at
it
that
for
thing.
You.
Hang on.
It's humongous.
I hate to change this. I hate to make it into a size contest.
We may
contest,
have to go two episodes now.
Oh, it's bigger than the 5. Wow. About that.
That's what she said.
Yeah.
And you can find our stuff over at justusgeeks.com. We are your daily dose of everything geek. We talk about everything pretty much. So if you like geeky stuff, you can find it over there. And our show comes out on Friday. So after you've listened to I Heard That Was Good on Thursday, you're ready for us on Friday. So
perfect.
Check it out.
Have you bent your phone yet?
No, because I'm not a moron. I'm not a moron.
You want more skinny jeans?
Not today. I was like, well, the skinny jeans got to go. Too important.
I'm not going to ruin my 6.
And make sure you read Carson's favorite column on JustUsGeeks.com. Movies you already saw but you shouldn't have.
Okay. Yeah. I literally had to fire the guy so that I could write the article so that you guys wouldn't get it wrong.
Yeah.
No, but I am writing the articles
movies
now.
Movies you shouldn't see and you didn't.
Yeah, that's the movies worst plug I've ever done.
I have driven to Jackson to clear this up. It's movies you have not seen but should.
And the thing is, as you heard probably, I already knew about that feature and I was like, oh, I guess they have another feature I don't know about.
Nope.
Movies you shouldn't see.
I totally got it wrong.
It was the greatest thing. I just laughed at my desk for like 2 hours after that. I was like, hey, this is awesome.
It's going to go down in history with Beverly Hills Cop 4 in the lore of this show.
That was the other dumbest episode we ever had. We went into a whole rant about Beverly Cops 4.
You know what's wrong with Beverly Hills Cop 4?
It never existed.
It never existed. And we're getting it mixed up with Beverly Hills Cop 3.
I don't know if you ever
3.
Heard that episode. Yeah,
that was very early on.
I just don't want to embarrass you guys by letting you continue.
No,
it's fine.
I mean, we literally went on this whole rant for like half a show about Beverly Hills Cop 4.
See, you guys have this great built-in section that when you do something like that, people should be like, oh, da-da-da-da-da. Not the case. When we get something wrong, I get endless tweets about it. Over, I get emails over and over like, you know, this is totally wrong. Okay.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Can I just say, from our standpoint, welcome to radio.
Yeah. Oh man. Gosh.
Yeah.
I cannot imagine.
Yeah. Every time.
Like, there are people on Facebook that and on Twitter that I've had to just ignore. I know they're super great listeners of the show.
Yeah.
I really appreciate it.
Have you muted them?
Yes.
Oh wow.
For me, on my personal
Twitter
account.
Mute hammer.
Yeah. I let someone else take care of it on the official Twitter account, so it's fine.
But
it's
that happens to us daily. Like the stupidest complaint I can remember is, why are they playing Summertime Sadness? It's not summer. Mm. We literally got that complaint.
Or why are they playing Cheers of the Weekend? Because it's Tuesday.
Yeah. Or like, when the Katy Perry song came out like last Friday night. Monday.
Yeah.
Why are they playing it?
Or when sometimes they change the lyrics so they say Mississippi or Jackson or something like that.
Yeah.
Or by the same token, why do they put Nelly in Florida Georgia Line's song? Why
that was the best.
Why
ever.
Did Y101 call Nelly and get him to rap a verse for Florida Georgia Line and put it in there?
I can't
believe
they
think
ruined
we do
my
that.
Song.
Yeah, people actually think we're responsible for that. I wish
you know what the best part was? That his partner in the morning actually tweeted towards Florida Georgia Line, was like, we did not do this. It was sent to us this way. And Florida Georgia Line was like, we had a blast. Thanks at Nate, whatever
his name
they're
like, hey, we just
Thanks
did it. We hope you liked
song.
It.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, they actually like tweeted back at Nate and this person was like, don't listen if you don't want to hear
it.
Yeah,
for real.
Yeah.
Just shut up.
That's the number one rule of the audio medium, or TV even. Change the channel.
Yeah.
But make sure you tune in next week for an all-new episode.
That's right.
I heard that was good. Josh, thanks for like coming down here and making the trip.
Awesome,
it was awesome
man.
To have you on. I hope that we get to do the same and be on Just Us Geeks one day.
You will.
We'll be at your
beck
and call.
You should.
Road trip to the Just Us Geeks.
You can have a slug burger. You can have all kinds of fun stuff.
I've heard tell of the slug burger.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
It's good stuff.
So, before I heard that was good, this is Josh Steen.
Goodbye.
And this is Carson Case.
Hey, baby.
And this is Tim Murphy saying bye-bye.
I heard that was good. I heard that was good. I heard that was good.